Welcome, boys and girls, to this week's edition of the artist formerly known as the Fantasy Flex Football Podcast on 92.9 The Game. The name is still a work in progress, but I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson, and we're here after a real long day of work. The last like 24 hours for both of us, so we might be a little loopy, but how you doing today right now, Bo?
I'm loopy, but not loopy's good. We have a podcast that's a symbol. It's awesome.
Here we are. We're right here with it. And we're going to start off today talking about some of the trades that happened over the course of the last 3 or 4 days. Obviously, going back to Friday of last week, you had the Carlos Hyde trade to Jacksonville, which was kind of a shocker, but really changed a lot of things, especially from a running back perspective for both the Jags and the Browns. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that trade, Bo?
So when I saw the Carlos Hyde trade, it happened right before, you know, I'd come in and we both do shows on the weekend. And I was thinking Carlos Hyde of the Jaguars, okay, one, Leonard Fournette might be placed on IR or something like that because they got to take on Carlos Hyde's contract. And the Browns were paying him $5 million a year for like 3 or 4 years or something. Like, they gave him some pretty good money to come in there and be the guy. But they obviously think that much of Nick Chubb. Now, I was thinking, okay, so that's going to relegate Chubb still to his duties that they're going to go ahead and make him the third down back. You know, Duke Johnson might get some more carries. And that's actually what I said on Sunday morning on the morning show. You know, I would go out and get Duke Johnson because he's going to have an uptick in volume. And boy, was I ever wrong about that.
He's still Duke Johnson. I thought the same thing. The first thing that went through my head, even before I got to the Nick Chubb part, was Fournette's done for the year. But the reports keep saying he's going to play after the bye week. And I think, and then I kind of took it the next step further. Once I found out that information, I was like, you know, they really don't trust TJ Yeldon in this role of being a primary back. Yep. They want him to be, you know, the change of pace guy, the third down guy, and they don't see him getting continuous carries, first and second down, goal line work. But yeah, taking on that salary and, you know, and they gave up a fifth round pick, which, you know, people can scoff at a fifth round pick, but a fifth round pick is still asset in the NFL for sure. The Nick Chubb part of it, you know, it's frustrating because we obviously live here in Atlanta and we live in the middle of Georgia country.
Yep.
So I'm sure like you had all of the leagues, everybody already had Nick Chubb, but there's probably leagues, a lot of other places in the country where Chubb was just chilling out there on waiver wires. But I checked all the leagues I was in, and sure enough, Chubb was owned in all of them.
Yeah, I did the same thing, as a matter of fact, and especially in Dynasty Leagues. He was scooped up and drafted probably top five. Let me rewind to Carlos Hyde, though, real fast and kind of see if we can forecast this for people that are wanting to know. So, did not play last week, which we'll get to that in Fire and Ice, because that one really hit that one right on the head there. He's likely going to be in a tandem with T.J. Yeldon, like you said. Now, T.J. Yeldon is probably – they do want him to be the third down and pass-catching down back. So, Carlos Hyde will be the first and second down back. Now, Fournette is likely to return, or at least we know that he's going to be out until week 9. So, that's this coming up week 8, then they have a bye, or week 7, then they have a – this is week 8, then they have a bye, then maybe back in week 10. So, this week, though, as far as the Jacksonville Jaguars in the running game is concerned – they're traveling to London, and they're going to face the Eagles. The Eagles are still the number 7 ranked rush defense in the NFL. I try to keep players out of these London games. The ones you do want to go with are running backs. I just don't know if I trust Hyde in this game. He will have had a week at this point to learn the offense, but the Eagles' rush defense is that stingy. If I have other options, I'm probably going to use them, but you can look for Hyde to at least start probably this game. I don't know. I don't feel easy about these London matchups, especially going over there against the staunch
defense. If you have a better matchup or you're on the fringe with some other flex options, if you're not decimated by buys this week, I would try to avoid playing all Jacksonville players. And really, when you look at that game on the other side, you're really probably trying to only start maybe Wentz if you have to, kind of a thing. Yeah. And Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz, you got to start those two guys. Those guys are rolling.
Yep,
but
they are.
The Jags in general, I mean, this defense is not the same defense it used to be. Blake Bortles is worse than he's ever been. And who knows? I mean, he's starting, but he's got the quick pull. And the Jags are – you want to try to avoid playing any Jags this week.
I think a couple bad weeks is making the Jags defense. And I don't know that it's the Jags defense that scored 8 touchdowns last week. I mean, that's impossible to replicate, right? So they still have 2 of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I'm still going to try to avoid Ramsey and Bouye at all costs because there is no denying their talent. So be that as it may, you know, London, receivers, quarterbacks don't want any part of it. You're right. Now, on to this Nick Chubb thing. So Nick Chubb coming into this game had 16 carries on the season. Nick Chubb comes into this game and gets 18 carries, and he makes good for it for 80 yards and a touchdown. Difficult matchup this week with Pittsburgh. All right, but then he gets KC and Atlanta the next 2 weeks. Very tasty matchups for Nick Chubb. KC, the 25th ranked rush defense in the NFL. Atlanta, the 21st.
Yeah, I would say lower your expectations for Chubb this week, but if you got him, you're starting him. I mean, it's one of those situations where he'll probably be touchdown dependent. He'll probably be in that 40 to 60 yard range, but the Browns are also at the same time going to try to establish the run with him early if they can, because they don't want to get into a shootout with the Steelers, at least. In theory, you'd like to think Hugh Jackson is thinking this way with logic and reason, but who knows with all that. But Chubb is somebody rest of season that I see as a solid RB2.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, volume is your best friend in fantasy football, and he got 18 carries in his first start. There are running backs out there that are in an RBBC who are looking at 11 and 12 carries a game, and that's on a week-to-week basis, and these are productive fantasy running backs. So if we can expect him to get 20, 25 carries a game, you know, you got to think he'll fall in the end zone a few times, and that does make a very solid RB2 in my eyes.
And as we start off the show, Duke Johnson is Duke Johnson. I mean, he's the third down guy, and he'll have one out of every three or four games. He'll do well in a PPR. He'll put up, you know, 15 points or so. But besides that, you want to try to look elsewhere. Moving on to the next big trade, you talk to me about this one, Bo.
All right, so we had Amari Cooper traded to the Cowboys from the Los Angeles Rams. Raiders? Los Angeles? Where
it's
are they
the
at?
Oakland Raiders, formerly
Oakland going
LA.
To Las Vegas. Jesus. All these West Coast teams. So Amari Cooper gets traded from the Raiders to the Cowboys. One bad team to another, right? So that's what it looks like on the surface. Now you dig a little bit deeper, you know, you're trying to evaluate, and we are trying to evaluate what Amari Cooper is going to do for you for the rest of the season. We came in on the season, both of us, very high on Amari Cooper. Turns out the Raiders just suck. They're horrible. So at least the Cowboys want to win. That's the number one point right there. The Cowboys are trying to win their division. It's up in the air at this point as to who is going to win the NFC East. So, I mean, some stats that you can really do nothing with that I'll just waste your time with real fast. Derek Carr, 1,700 or almost 1,800 passing yards on the season, 7 touchdowns, 8 picks. Dak Prescott, only 1,400 passing yards on the season, but he's had zilch for weapons. Cole Beasley, the rapper, is his best weapon on that offense. 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns, and only 4 picks. So Dak's been much more efficient and done a lot more with the passing yards that he has completed. Now, Dallas, keep this in mind. Dallas, after their bye, which is this week, Atlanta, Dallas, Tennessee, Los Angeles Chargers on a bye this week. Dallas's matchups all the way through the fantasy Super Bowl: Tennessee, Philly, Atlanta, Washington, New Orleans, Philly, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay. Philly, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay are who they're going to face in weeks 14, 15, 16. That's your fantasy playoffs and the fantasy Super Bowl. The only two matchups there that you even want to worry anything about, and they don't really scare you that much, is Washington and Tennessee. It's Tennessee after the bye next week, Washington in 3 weeks. Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and Tampa Bay might be, for a wide receiver and for a quarterback, the best 3 week schedule in the fantasy playoffs. So I would stash Amari Cooper on your bid. I'm not even really stash him. You could probably go ahead and start him. If you got a better option against Tennessee, maybe. But once you play Philly in 2 weeks, roll Amari Cooper out there and see what they're going to do.
I'm so torn on Amari Cooper. It bounces back and forth. It did before the season, after week one, after week two. He's just one of the more intriguing guys we've talked a lot about here on the Fantasy Football Podcast on 92.9thegame.com. And with me, I am trying to, if I can, I don't know what his value is perceived by the other owners in your league, but maybe if you've got the guy who's a Cowboys fan or believes that he will be just the clear-cut target monster there, I would try to trade him.
That's a good idea, too.
If you can
get
the value for him. But if not, it's a wait-and-see approach. The nice thing is they do have the bye. He's coming off the bye with the Raiders, so he's not playing. Yep. Now he's got another bye, and he gets a chance to get about 10 days to learn this offense. And I see him being kind of in that Dez Bryant role of last year. Obviously, he's much more of an explosive athlete at this point in their careers, if Dez Bryant even has a career anymore. But once they get into the red zone, he should be the option from a passing standpoint in this attack. So he's someone to keep an eye on. But if you can get a decent running back, you know, I don't know if someone wants to trade you a Nick Chubb or something like that, someone who's got a lot of running back depth and maybe picked up a couple guys, someone that you could see moving forward being a really solid starter. I would try to trade Amari Cooper.
I can see that happening. You know, if you want to use Amari Cooper as trade bait, fine. This does seem kind of like, it smells kind of like they're setting us up to let us down here. But there also is, as far as a matchup standpoint alone, on paper, it looks like this has all the potential to be a great trade for fantasy football owners of Amari Cooper. Like I said, it could be setting you up for letdown, but we'll see. He has proven in the past with like one game per season that he can be that possession guy, and he'll rack up those yards off of 8 or 9 or 11 catches. He had a 200-yard game last year that was off of more than just 4 catches. He's more than a deep threat. We'll see what Dak Prescott can do with Amari Cooper there.
Any other news notes, kind of those type of things before we jump into what had happened was?
So we had another movement, but this was not a trade. So the Raiders also moved another player. They moved Marshawn Lynch to the IR. Now, Marshawn Lynch can come back for the – well, they're not going to be making the playoffs this year, are they there? So I don't even know if Marshawn Lynch plays football again, to be honest with you. Marshawn Lynch gets moved to the IR, which brings a couple of running backs on that team to the forefront. Those two being Jalen Richard, Doug Martin. I'm not sure how you feel about either one. As far as I'm concerned, Jalen Richard's the one that I'm going out and picking up off of waivers. Most leagues are PPR anyway, but if it's a non-PPR situation, I might just leave them both alone. Jalen Richard on the season, 31 receptions, good for 253 yards. He scored 59.5 fantasy points. Doug Martin, on the other hand, 27 rushes for 99 yards. He scored 14.4 fantasy points on the season. So I can see Jalen Richard being very useful in a PPR. I can see neither one of them really being that useful in a non-PPR situation.
I completely agree with you. Richard's the guy to own, the guy to own there in Oakland, especially, like you said, most leagues PPR. If you are in a standard league and are desperate at running back, Doug Martin, that's a fine pickup. But Richard, the other thing to consider with that is Oakland – now with no Amari Cooper, and I mean, they've just waved the white flag. They're totally giving up on the season. No Marshawn Lynch. They're going to be down a lot in games. There's going to be a ton of dump-off passes to Richard. And then you also got to think of the targets that Cooper did have while he was there. Those are gone now as well. So Richard is a guy, I'm actually might even start him in a flex coming up this week. And I think he's someone that you could start, you know, with relative confidence as far as giving you a decent floor week to week.
Yeah, and a flex or a bye week feeling, I think Jalen Richard's going to do just fine for you. I'm not too big of a fan on Doug Martin at all. This looked like a season where he could come in and maybe take the job from Marshawn Lynch. That was not the case, and he has stunk it up so bad that they have not even been giving him the ball at all of recent. Now, the volume aspect of it withstanding, somebody's got to get the volume, but I can see the Oakland Raiders as being that team this year that you just don't want to own or have any part of, and they're going to be a trash heap. Dumpster fire for the rest of the season.
Doug Martin will be a completely touchdown dependent running back moving forward. He's not someone,
and I'm talking to even get to double digit points, he's going to have touchdowns.
Exactly.
Probably.
He's going to have like the 35 yard touchdown. That's going to be his best games the rest of the year. So jumping into what had happened was, and honestly, Bo, I'm not going to lie, I did pretty awesome this past week with predictions. So I only really have one thing, and it's not even, I'm not even fully wrong. I had to like force myself.
You had to make yourself
to
be
force
wrong.
Force myself.
Be I've got wrong. Plenty of wrong for you to make that up.
Well, I'll start off with my. I'll just get it out of the way here. Dalvin Cook. He's someone I continue to preach about to get all of these things. He's out. He was out again, which was a pretty big shock. But I did say to go ahead and start Latavius Murray. He looks great. That offensive line is starting to roll for Minnesota. So when Dalvin Cook does come back, I think he will be solid. So Dalvin Cook, I was wrong on, but Latavius Murray, I was right on, and. That was pretty much it for me as far as what had happened was, Bo. That's
really?
It. That's all I got.
So I'll just roll through mine. So what had happened was is I sucked it up pretty bad in my fire picks last week. All three of them kind of flamed out. Chester Rogers went 4 for 40 in a game where Andrew Luck threw 4 freaking touchdowns. Welcome back, T.Y. Hilton.
One note on that, though. Andrew Luck is – he's back. I mean, back as far as – I mean, not that he hasn't been playing well all season long, but he's kind of that – back to being that top five. You just don't even think about it if you have him on your team. Unless you've got like Mahomes or maybe Drew Brees at home in a nice matchup, you're not even considering benching him over somebody else.
I've got Andrew Luck, who I've waited on. I've got Andrew Luck on a lot of teams because both you and I, and including in this league, you and I waited on quarterback in this league, and that's kind of the philosophy that we use in every league. I've got Andrew Luck on several teams, and I backed that up by picking up Jameis in a lot of them too. So I've got Jameis and Andrew Luck on my team on a lot of my leagues, and that's a pretty good situation to be in for the rest of the season. So Tyler Boyd, 3 for 37 versus the Chiefs. AJ Green goes off for 7 receptions and 100 yards. Now this was a classic Andy Dalton, Red Ryder finally shows back up and completely destroys your hopes and dreams of ever having anything. If you decided to rely on Andy Dalton as a fantasy starter for the rest of the season, well, shame on you. He's going to give you that one or two games in a great matchup every now and again. Typical Andy Dalton, the Red Rider BB gun, 15 completions out of 29 tries for 148 yards, and 100 yards of that goes to A.J. Green. So what are you going to do? I'm still starting Tyler Boyd tomorrow if they're playing the Chiefs again, one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL.
You mentioned it right there, against a really bad defense. And the thing is, I don't know what it is. There's no scientific evidence. I mean, as far as statistically speaking, it backs it up. But Andy Dalton is just awful in primetime games.
Yes.
For whatever reason, has been his whole career. The lights shine the brightest, and I don't know, the ginger just melts there a little bit.
So, and then my third one there was Peyton Barber. You know, he showed some signs of life 2 weeks ago, had a really good matchup. He went in for and got 11 rushes for 30 yards. And what ended up being a shootout with Tampa Bay, he just wasn't used much at all because Tampa Bay falls behind very quickly, and then it goes to Jameis airing the ball out. Jameis threw for like 400 yards and a couple of touchdowns, ran for a touchdown in this game. So Peyton Barber stunk it up. What are you going to do? We're not fortune tellers. We just bring you the facts, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to you to start your team. So,
and it looks like he's going to be, he might not even play this week coming up there as well, but Ronald Jones is someone, I mean, if you have to start him, but
please have some Ronald Jones, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for the love of Pete. I've got a dynasty team where my best running back on that team is James White. But after that, it's kind of abysmal. So,
all right, well, moving on. Is that it?
That's it, man. That's all I got.
All right, well, let's get into some good stuff here. Let's get into some good stuff. Told you so. All right, I got a lot of good stuff this week, Bo. Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, always start running backs versus the Cardinals. That game on Thursday night last week was one of the worst football games. I mean, it was just depressing to watch because the Cardinals are just so bad. They don't even look like a professional team right now. Lindsay was solid, 14 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Freeman, so-so game, but he found the end zone, 37 yards and a touchdown. Thing to keep an eye on there is he looks like he's got a high ankle sprain. They do have a bye this week coming up, I believe. But after that, who knows what's going to happen with him. They may sit him an extra week. And Lindsay is just obviously the guy throughout this year that you've wanted to be starting there anyways. But both of those guys had solid weeks.
So I've got a couple of rock solid ice picks that were definitely ice cold. And I'm hoping you left them on your bench. So I'll start it off with Carlos Hyde of the Cleveland Browns, who was traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars and didn't even dress out for this past game, scored you 0 points. Rock solid ice pick for me last week.
I had a similar ice pick in LeSean McCoy because he got a concussion very early on in the game. He finished with 1 yard on two carries. So I told you not to play him anyways. Hopefully you didn't. But, you know, it's kind of hard when someone gets hurt like that. Interesting thing to keep an eye on. If he doesn't play again this week and you are desperate, I'm talking about desperate for running back, Chris Ivory is someone you might want to pick up because McCoy might get traded as well.
Yeah,
and Ivory might be a guy as it gets a little colder. Not that he's going to be awesome or anything, but he might be a very startable back if McCoy's not on this team for the long haul rest of the season.
Now, as far as my next I told you so, this is not one that I want to take too much fame in. I almost didn't even put it on here. You definitely don't want to brag about it because the player ended up getting hurt. But we did think that Sony Michel was not going to have a great game. He did not have a great game. He left the left in the first quarter with an injury. Did get you 3.5 points. Did come back. MRI, no structural damage. So he is week to week at this point. So Sony Michel's great season should continue. It might be out for a couple of weeks. Keep an eye on that. It's going to make James White a huge fantasy productive player here in the next couple of weeks.
We don't want to celebrate injuries, but when you're right, you're right, Bo. Okay.
You know,
I told you
I
so.
Right.
You didn't play him. He didn't have a good game, right? All right, my next told you so, going back to Monday Night Football here right at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Lots of yards in this game.
Yeah.
Not a lot of scoring. Sterling Shepard was a guy I told you to play. He wound up with 5 catches for 167 yards and paid off in a big way, especially for those who played him in flex after a couple down weeks last night at Mercedes-Benz.
That's a pretty good call there. With no touchdowns being scored, that's about 22 points by my right-sided math here. So 22 points out of a flex position or even a wide receiver too, depending on how thin your team is, by Sterling Shepard. Great call there by you. My third one, Alex Collins for the Baltimore Ravens. 11 rushes for 38 yards. I hope you iced Alex Collins versus the New Orleans Saints, the best rush defense in the NFL. Buck Allen did nothing either. I think they both combined for like 40 or 50 yards versus this defense, and you're going to hear from him again coming up in Fire and Ice a little bit later. So there you go.
How excited were you about the whole Justin Tucker missed extra point, being a Saints fan? That was one of the more insane things I've seen in football.
So I did not renew because last year I was in Mercedes-Benz every game because I was engineering broadcast in there. I'm not doing that position this season, but I had Sunday ticket last year. Did not renew it this year because of how many games I didn't watch at home last year. I figured I'd be working or whatever. So I was at State Farm Arena right before the So-So Def concert was starting when this game was going on, 4 o'clock game. And if you're not watching a football game by the video, you're having to do one of those stat tracker type deals where it like types it out for you. And I sat there and watched on this little grid on, I think, the ESPN app or something like that, this last drive by the Ravens. And it's like 40-yard pass, 20-yard pass, 40-yard pass. All the way down the field they marched in like 45 seconds. And then, boop, touchdown. So then I'm like, oh, crap, we're headed to overtime. I'm walking, left my phone on the bar, went to go do something. One of the supervisors who was behind the bar that I'm talking football with, shout out to Matt in the State Farm Arena in the Courtside Club. What's up, brother? Was looking at my phone. He was like, they missed the extra point. I went running back down to the other end of the bar where my phone was. I couldn't believe it. The Justin Tucker's face, he is 222 for 222 for his career in the NFL. Somebody told me he had missed an extra point. It might have been you. Yep. In college or high school leading up to that.
He was 16
years
old.
That's just crazy.
16 years old, the last time that guy missed an extra point, which is absolutely
insane. But did you
insane.
See the trajectory of the ball? Like it looks and then kind of just snap hooked to the left like a magical gust of wind came down from Tom Benson up above or
it
something.
It looked like
that.
One of us amateur golfers going out on a Saturday afternoon and you took a big swing and you're like, oh, that looks good. And then it slices like 30 yards. That's exactly what it looked like. So pretty crazy.
Quote the Raven, nevermore on that one. Do not mess with the voodoo that is New Orleans.
Two more told you so's before we get take a little quick break and jump into our fire and ice picks for the week. Deshaun Watson, I told you to sit Deshaun Watson at Jacksonville. They won that game 20-7, but Watson was 12 for 24 with one TD. He's a gamer. He's battling. The Texans have found a way to win a couple games in a row, but he's banged up right now, and he should probably try to find better quarterback options. The other one I said was the Dolphins receiving core. Brock Osweiler kind of spread the ball around a little bit, but the only guy who put up a good stat line was Danny Amendola, who had 84 yards and a touchdown. And be honest, no one out there started him, not a one of you. So if you started any of those other Dolphins receivers who are all banged up, you didn't do very good. We're going to take a quick break here on the 929thegame.com fantasy football podcast. We'll be back with our fire and ice picks for this week. That time of the show on the 92.9thegame.com fantasy football podcast with Brian Gephardt. Bo Johnson is our fire and ice picks, our weekly. I can't talk because I'm loopy. You know, we talked about this.
Loopy.
Bo and I have not had a lot of sleep over the last 24 hours, but we're still here for you guys.
Grinding it out.
I'll start off with the number one fire pick for me, and I believe it is an ice pick for Bo. So we'll start off with a little controversy. Doug Baldwin, he's a guy that I just believe in. Over the last 3 or 4 years, he's up there in touchdowns in the league. He was banged up to start the year. The Lions have a really good secondary, but I love Baldwin as a rock-solid wide receiver, too, this week. Coming off a bye, he's going to be as healthy as he will be all season long, and I think you could fire him off with some confidence this week.
So my first fire pick is going to be Josh Doctson versus the New York Giants. Doctson lines up half the time on the left side of the field where Eli Apple – wait. This just in, Eli Apple just been traded to the New Orleans Saints.
There it goes. You can change that quickly, the fire and ice picks.
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Doctson, I have no idea who he's going to line up against this week, so I'm no longer going to use him as a fire pick. It turns out Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs, you were going to start them anyway, but evidently one of them is going to be lined up on Eli Apple this week if he plays, and I'm not happy about that move one bit. I mean, look, Eli Apple was a number 10 overall pick in the draft like 4 years ago. They picked him there for a reason. Did the New York Giants. He just hasn't worked out there. He's been a locker room kind of a cancer. The ability is there. You know, maybe when he gets over to New Orleans with Dennis Allen in a brand new offense, brand new change of scenery, as they air quote it, we'll see.
He's soft, man.
But, dude, if you watch, you watch the broadcast last night of Monday Night Football – You've got Tessa Torre, and you've got Jason Witten, and even Booger McFarland are all talking every time the Falcons have the ball about how they are rearranging their receivers to put somebody on Eli Apple, and they always go to that guy because he's always open.
Yeah, he's not very good. He's going to be a headache for you guys. But you didn't give up a lot for him. So I mean,
yeah,
a fourth
I mean, and
a seventh
you never know.
Like,
the talent is there. Maybe Sean Payton, Dennis Allen could do some wonders for this kid. But anyways, we're talking about fire parts. We're talking about fire picks, not fire parts. So give me some Raheem Mostert. Pass me the mustard. San Francisco 49ers. RB2 right now, back up to Matt Breida. Matt Breida leaves this game last week with a sprained ankle. This has been hampering Breida for the last couple of weeks. We don't know if he's going to sit out yet. Pay attention to this. I still like Mostert. If Breida goes, Breida only saw like four plays last week's game. You can't think that his ankle is just going to miraculously heal. So he's playing the Arizona Cardinals. What more can you ask for? The worst rush defense in the NFL. He came in last week and got 7 rushes for 59 yards. Added 4 receptions for 19 yards after Breida goes out with a sprained ankle. Keep an eye on Breida's health. If Breida does not play, Mostart's going to be a must start. If Breida does play, I think Mostart is almost probably still a must start.
You didn't even mean to do that one.
I didn't.
The thing about this Mostart, Mostart kid.
What a fun name.
Okay, first off, he looks like the most explosive back there in San Fran. It's a fun name. So many team names could come of this. So please be good just for our own selfishness heading into next season so you become a draftable guy. And then all these weird team names. We could have Colonel Mustard, Pass the Mustard, you know, all of those type of things. We could have a blast with that. All right, so my next fire pick, your guy, Tre'Quan Smith, Saints rookie wide receiver. He played on 73% of the snaps against the Ravens in Week 7. And we all know the Ravens probably have the best secondary, best defense arguably in the league right now. But he's the clear-cut replacement for Ted Ginn, who was placed on the IR last week. I like Smith this week indoors against a tough Minnesota secondary, and I like him as a waiver wire pickup rest of season. He's some guy I think you can start with confidence as a wide receiver 3 moving forward in a flex spot. And this game is Sunday Night Football, Vikings Saints, which of course is the rematch of what happened last year with the Minnesota Miracle, which I'm sure you're familiar with there, Bo.
I am a little bit familiar with that there, that game. It does ring a bell. I remember it very fondly. You can look for the New Orleans Saints defense to want to step up and do as much as they can. I do think this game is going to be a shootout. I really, really like that Tre'Quan Smith pick. Could be last team holding the ball wins this one. I do like our defense a little bit better as far as our rush defense than the Minnesota Vikings. They might have a better secondary, but I'm not sure. They got Xavier Rhodes. We got, you know, Marshawn Lattimore. Xavier Rhodes has been in the league a little bit longer. Marshawn Lattimore is a proven shutdown cornerback. We'll see, man. It's going to be Kirk Cousins versus Drew Brees. Kirk Cousins is a gunslinger. We'll throw some picks. Drew Brees has not thrown a pick all season. Will this be the week? We don't know. So, going to be a great matchup on Sunday Night Football. My next fire pick is going to be Tyler Boyd again. I'm going right back to the well with this one. The Bucs have given up the most points to the slot position in the entire NFL this season. We already knew about their crappy secondary, but as far as the slot position alone, they've given up the very most points of any other team in the NFL, all 32 of them to the slot position. Tyler Boyd lines up in the slot 70% of the time. Give me some Tyler Boyd this week.
Tyler Boyd is someone that you shouldn't worry too much about what happened this past Sunday night, even though it was against a bad Chiefs defense.
It was more Andy Dalton than anything.
Good thing, I believe it's a 1 o'clock game, so Dalton doesn't have to worry about the primetime situation. And Boyd is someone that you should feel comfortable starting moving forward. And honestly, if you need to start a quarterback, I know we bashed him earlier this week, but Dalton is fine, is a fine play this week if you need to, or if you're streaming, or if you're in between a decision between him and one other guy.
A completely matchup dependent quarterback is Andy Dalton. He's going against one of the very worst secondaries in the NFL this week. You know, you're not going to like it. You might not want to watch the game, but I would kind of feel semi-confident starting Andy Dalton versus the Tampa Bay Bucs.
All right, my last fire pick is Marlon Mack, who obviously he had a monster game, has been very unreliable through the first part of the season due to injury, and he's someone I don't like rest of season. I'm not in love with, but they're playing the Oakland Raiders, the lifeless Oakland Raiders, and I think the Colts are going to want to try to run the ball a little bit more. I mean, they're not going to be a run-first team. Obviously, Luck's back. He's slinging the ball around. T.Y. Hilton looks healthy. He caught a couple touchdowns this past week, but I like Mack this week in a flex play.
I like Marlon Mack in a flex play this week, too. I still like Nyheim Hines on that Indianapolis Colts running game, too, and that's the biggest thing for me about that backfield. Is Mac, Hines, who's it going to be this week? Is it going to be both? You know, Andrew Luck is throwing the ball all over the freaking place, but a lot of that kind of takes away from those running backs running the ball, and Nyheim Hines seems to be the guy that catches the most balls out of that backfield. So my third fire pick, I'm going out on a limb here, and it's not solely because he finally just had a good game, but it's because he had a good game, and he's going up against a very crappy run defense. It's Lamar Miller. Yeah, that's right. I said it. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to get blown out by the Houston Texans this week, and I think Lamar Miller is going to have a huge second half of this game. Lamar Miller just went off for 100 yards and a touchdown this past week. Might be the first great game that he's had all year. He's had a couple little shadows of good games. Miami Dolphins are giving up 137 yards on the ground. They have a crappy rush defense. They got no offense. Danny Amendola is the only weapon they have on the offense. I'm going to get to an ice pick here on the other side, on Miami's side of the ball, as to why they've got no run game this week. But give me some Lamar Miller. I think if you've got Lamar Miller on your team and you stuck with him, especially if you have teams on bye, run him out there with confidence against a crappy Miami Dolphins team.
Everything you said makes total sense, perfect logic and reason, all those things, and on paper it does. I just
Lamar Miller.
It's just Lamar Miller, you know, man. And I can't see him doing it 2 weeks in a row because I can't remember the last time he's ever done that. So I just see him finding a way to screw this up. Like, he'll score a touchdown and get like 35 yards, but then he'll have like two fumbles or something.
Yeah, erase the whole thing.
He will find a way to screw this up. But no, Lamar Miller is probably a solid play this week, especially if you're on byes or injuries or all the above there. Moving on to our ice picks, I'll start it off with Devin Funchess, who was the best wide receiver in Carolina. He's been pretty solid most of this year, but I think he gets shut down against the Ravens' stout defense coming up this Sunday.
I see that. I can see Cam kind of having a hard time with this one as well and throwing a couple of picks. You know, Drew Brees did his best against this team, and it was almost not enough. And Cam Newton is nowhere near the quarterback that Drew Brees is. What Cam Newton does that Drew Brees doesn't is run, and the Baltimore Ravens are a very, very stingy run defense. So I like that pick right there.
The way the Panthers are going to have to win this game, it's going to have to be one of those 13-10, 17-13, where like Cam runs the ball for 60, 70 yards, McCaffrey has a pretty solid game, that type of thing. I don't think they're going to beat the Ravens through the air.
Yeah, and then I don't know if the Ravens can beat the Panthers through the air either. The Panthers have a couple of good cornerbacks back there. Joe Flacco's not the most elite quarterback in the league, so this might be one of those 12-10 games that you might not want to watch, but DVR or watch the highlights. My first ice pick comes from that same Houston-Miami game, and it's going to be the running back on the other side of the field, Kenyon Drake. Not sure how many of you have Kenyon Drake or were thinking about starting him this week. If he's your best option, then good luck to you. The Texans have only given up one rushing touchdown the entire season. That's kind of been flown under the radar, flying under the radar. They're still giving up 92 yards a game. They're giving up some yards on the ground. Once it gets into the red zone, though, they do not give up rushing touchdowns, which is what Kenyon Drake needs to have a good week in fantasy football. So I don't see Kenyon Drake having a good week. If you're having to choose between him and Lord knows who else, I would play Lord knows who else this week.
The Dolphins are such a mess for having a winning record, man. Like, it's... you're gonna look up and they're only gonna wind up with like five wins on the year after starting 3-0,
especially with two of the receivers now hurt.
Yeah, Kenny Stills already ruled out. Albert Wilson looks like he's hurt. We'll talk about a potential waiver wire pickup if you're in dire need coming up here in just a second. But my next pick, I'm gonna stick in that same game that I was just talking about, that Ravens Panthers game. And like Bo said, unless you have to watch this or you're a Panthers or a Ravens fan, maybe you'll just check it out on Red Zone or the highlights at some point if there are any highlights. Alex Collins, Buck Allen at Carolina. Don't like either running back here. And again, really, I mean, if you can avoid this game altogether from a fantasy perspective, it'll probably be best. You're going to start McCaffrey, obviously, but besides that, try to look elsewhere.
So I'm going to go to the back to that Minnesota-New Orleans game, and I'm going to bench Dalvin Cook this week. Now, he has not been the most reliable running back that you probably drafted in the second round this season. He did not play last week. Latavius Murray had the game. I'm not sure if I like Latavius Murray in this game either. Actually, I definitely don't. So whichever one of them plays. But if Dalvin Cook starts this week, don't be fooled. All right, he may be on a snap count. He may only get 10 snaps. He may only get 5 touches. You know, and you're going up against the best running defense in the NFL. Best rush defense in the NFL is the New Orleans Saints. Alex Collins, 11 rushes for 38 yards. Buck Allen, 3 rushes for 3 yards and 3 receptions for 21 yards is what the Baltimore Ravens running backs were held to last week by the New Orleans Saints. I do not like the Minnesota Vikings this week at all. you can very much look for this game to be a shootout, especially with the two guys that are going to be playing quarterback in this one. I think Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray are going to be an afterthought in this game.
Good point there with Cook, because the thing is, if Cook does play, they are going to split carries, yep, him and Murray, because he's not just going to come back and get 20 carries. And running backs aren't successful against the Saints already. If Murray's in there by himself with no Cook, you're probably going to wind up playing him in a flex spot, but don't expect big things from Murray.
You can look for like 25 yards and maybe a touchdown. They do still use him on goal line carry. So
last ice play for me. I'm kind of going to do a double one here, a 3 and a 4, a 3A, 3B, if you will. Doug Martin, Ronald Jones, they're running backs that will probably start this week, but don't get excited about either of them. We talked about Doug Martin. He's just not a good running back. He's not on a good team. They are playing the Colts, so there's a chance that he could get something going a little bit there, but I just would try to avoid him. Same thing with Ronald Jones. Even if Peyton Barber doesn't play, which we'll find out injuries update later on the week with him, but I would try to avoid both of these backfields this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, just because a running back starts does not mean that he's going to get the volume needed to be successful in fantasy football. All right, I don't see the Oakland Raiders offense being good enough to warrant running the ball more than 10 times in any particular game this entire season. And on the same token, kind of the Bucs running offense or rush game, whatever you want to call it, is so crappy and their secondary is so bad that they're going to have to throw the ball also. So just because a running back starts for a team doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get the volume that you need. So my last ice pick here is actually one of your fire picks. So I want to send you back to that pick. Tell me again why you like Doug Baldwin this week versus the Detroit Lions.
I have a rational just likeness for him. He's one of those guys, much like a Lamar Miller, I just hate for no reason.
Yeah, okay.
Baldwin, when he plays and is healthy, is pretty much been a borderline wide receiver one for the last 4 years. He came back the week before the bye, 6 catches, 91 yards, and I think the 2 weeks off, you know, having the bye, I'm sure he's limited practice this type of week. He's going to be as healthy as he's going to be all season long, and the Seahawks are going to have to throw the ball. They're going to try to want to run the ball like they have for years, but they're going to wind up throwing the ball a lot in this game. And even if the Seahawks are down, I could see some garbage yardage, that type of thing. They are going up against a tough secondary in the Lions, but I don't view the Lions secondary like I view the Ravens secondary. I don't think they're at that level. Statistically, they're pretty close to that, but I just don't see them as that elite type of secondary.
So you just love Doug Baldwin. That's basically what it boils
down to.
Pretty much.
Hey, I mean,
I've got my players too. I'm just kind of wondering. I'm more of a stats don't lie guy, you know. And Slay Lawson, probably the best cornerback tandem next to Ramsey and Bouye in the NFL. Definitely in the NFC. They are sixth in the league against the left wide receiver. They are first in the league versus the right wide receiver. They are like 20-something in the league versus the slot guy, because neither one of those players go into the slot. I can see a big game for Tyler Lockett here. That's where Tyler Lockett predominantly plays, is out of the slot for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't see Doug Baldwin doing very much at all, no matter what slide they line him up on. They might just shadow him with big play Slay, and if that's the case, you don't like that either. Now, he could get loose for one. You never know, and it all it takes is a couple of passes and a touchdown to have a decent fantasy game. But as far as a matchup goes, this is one of the very worst in the NFL this entire week.
The other thing, on top of my just irrational likeness for him, he's going to get the targets. He's the guy who Russell Wilson trusts the most in this offense. I mean, Lockett is the more explosive athlete and can definitely get that deep threat. You know, that one play, bang, he's got 60 yards and a touchdown. But I think Baldwin will wind up with 8 to 10 to 12 targets in this game.
I can see him winding up with 8 to 10 to 12 targets. I just think those 8 to 10 to 12 targets might turn into 3 receptions and 2 interceptions for Russell Wilson. I'm just not. It's a bad matchup. I don't know, man.
I just need a touchdown in one of those.
You're wrong.
Well, we'll find out, man. We'll find out next week. Either way, it'll be a I told you so for one of us and a what had happened.
Absolutely, 100% correct.
For the other one. So moving on to the waiver wire, who you got this week, Bo?
So pass me the Mostert. If you didn't go out and snag him last week, and by looking at the ownership percentages on both Yahoo and ESPN, a lot of you didn't, go ahead and grab Raheem Mostert. You're going to have to put him on your waiver wire claim this week, whereas last week you probably could have just picked him up as a free agent stash or add without it costing your waiver wire position. You're definitely going to have to add him this week, though. If Breida doesn't play, roll him on out there. Mostert is a mustard.
If
start.
If Breida doesn't play this week, Mustard's going to be a top 10 running back. I'm willing to go that bold with
this matchup.
Because the Cardinals
I would agree with
are
that.
So, yeah, so bad. Bad.
Horrible.
So bad. And on that note, David Johnson, don't burn us this week,
Jesus,
man. You got the lowly 49ers rolling into town.
You had the lowly Broncos last week, man. They were the 31st worst rush defense in the NFL.
Yeah, but the Broncos, they seem like they're more competitive.
They got Von Miller.
They're more competitive than the 49ers, I feel like. But this is a divisional game. You laid an egg at home last week. Like, come on, man.
There's that.
You had 10 days to rest up. Like, let's go, Cardinals. Let's participate in this game here a little bit. I'll start off my waiver wire with Geronimo Allison, who's about – he's owned in about half the leagues. He had the concussion situation. I think he does wind up getting cleared and play this week. And he's a guy who paid off early on in a couple weeks earlier in this season. He is Aaron Rodgers' number two target if he is playing in this game. And he's someone that I think should be owned in all leagues moving forward.
You do like the Green Bay Packers matchup against the Los Angeles Rams this week as far as their receivers go with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. This Los Angeles Rams defense, since Aqib Talib has gone out, Marcus Peters is back in there, but he's not playing too well.
I think he's playing hurt. Plus, he's already kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of a cornerback. I mean, a very high-end type, but he can be burned for sure.
They're still playing as a good fantasy defense because they're sacking the quarterback. They're causing turnovers, but they're not getting a whole lot of interceptions. They are getting burned, the Rams secondary is. So that might continue to be a good matchup from here on out. So my next waiver wire pickup that you should go out and grab this week is going to be Jalen Richard. We already talked about him. The best running back on the Oakland Raiders. Don't know how well that's going to pan out for you, but in a PPR, it should do pretty well. You got no Amari Cooper. I don't even know who the other wide receivers are. You got Jared Cook. You got Jalen Richard. That's who most of your targets and most of your receptions are going to go to in this Oakland Raiders defense.
On that note, someone to keep an eye on who hasn't been completely obsolete, but pretty much up to this point, is Martavis Bryant. He will come in there. He will get
some
snaps.
They did resign Martavis.
And, yeah, I mean, he's had like 20 yards and 30 yards, but he's obviously going to get an uptick. And we remember him a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh when he did have good games. It was all on one play. He would have three catches for, 120 yards. So he's a type, a poor man's Tyler Lockett type. Where
boomer bust type
guy. If you
guy,
needed to roll him out and see if you can score a touchdown, that would be great. My next waiver wire pickup is Dolphins wide receiver Jakeem Grant. And I don't want to say that I'm super excited about this, but he's the only wide receiver I know on this team right now that's going to be playing on Thursday night.
Well, Amendola's still there, but he's a slot guy. Exactly.
He scored the one touchdown. I was like, oh, look, Danny Amendola's still in the league. That's cool. No, you're a very good point there.
He definitely didn't take over that Jarvis Landry role like a lot of people thought that he would.
that's true. And he's someone that if you're desperate in a PPR league, he'll probably get a lot of targets this week. But Jakeem Grant, very, very fast in the same mold of an Albert Wilson and a Kenny Stills, who are both out for this game and might be for weeks moving forward. If you are desperate at the wide receiver position, which you really shouldn't be because there are a ton of wide receiver options, but if you have to have somebody this week, Jakeem Grant is a decent pickup.
There you go. So my last waiver wire pickup here is going to be, kind of if you're desperate because the offense is just absolutely god-awful. That's going to be Chris Ivory. I think you talked about him earlier. Chris Ivory is going to be the backup to Shady McCoy. Shady McCoy in the concussion protocol. I actually had in a league a team drop Shady McCoy a few weeks ago. I picked him up. I've started him like 2 weeks in a row. He's done nothing. He got me like 1 point last week for getting hit in the head and put out of the game. So I might go after Chris Ivory just because there are no running backs in this league. Obviously, if I was starting him in the first place. But Chris Ivory, should Shady McCoy not play in this game, Chris Ivory is the handcuff without any reserve to Shady McCoy on this offense. He will get 80% of the work, whatever work there may be, before Buffalo starts getting blown out.
Ivory's the last guy I've got on my list too here as we wrap up. And he's someone, if you have that extra roster spot, if you're someone who is, maybe 5-2 or 4-3 and you feel pretty comfortable about making the fantasy playoffs, he's someone to pick up and stash just in case McCoy, one being out this week, and one being traded potentially, because Ivory would be the starter. He is more valuable, Ivory, that is, in standard leagues moving forward. Not really going to do too much for you in PPR leagues.
Yep.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com. We're still looking for a name. I know it's midway through the season, but
we have one submitted, though.
Much like the Cardinals, we're looking for a pulse here. So that's going to do it for Brian Gephardt and Bo Johnson this week. Talk to y'all next week.
Cheers.